بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبد الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا. قال تعالى في مقام آخر: أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: قولوا يا أيها الناس، قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us an easy, perfect deed to follow, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us ummati of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have been discussing about Surah Kahf, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was questioned by the Quraysh. The Quraysh had gone to Madinatul Munawwara, and the Jews of Madinatul Munawwara, they asked the Quraysh to pose three questions to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he answered them, then he is a true Nabi. One concerning the ruh, the soul. And the second question concerning the Ashab-e-Kahf. And the third question concerning Dhulqarnain. We have discussed already, alhamdulillah, concerning those people from the Bani Israel, those three who went into the cave and made dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. Before I describe to you the youth who went away into the cave, there is one small masala that Imam Zamakhshari stated that by the word Ewaja, which we have recited, the first ayat of Surah Kahf, this waqf, this stopping here, is lazim. And it is one of the four places in the Quran Kareem that after that word you have to and you must stop. If you don't stop and you just carry on reading, then you will change the meaning. You will change the meaning of the whole entire ayat. And instead of saying that the Quran Kareem has got no crookedness, then you will be saying that the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbid, you will say that the Quran Kareem has got no crookedness and no uprightness if you carry on reading it. So remember that when you're reading Surah Kahf, and every alhamdulillah Muslim reads it on Fridays, that when you come to Ewaja, then stop and then continue. Respected elders, the other ayah that I recited to you, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about two, Ashabul Kahf and Ashabul Raqib. Now, that means we are talking of two sets of people, the Ashab-e-Kahf and the Ashab-e-Raqib. According to most of the scholars of Islam, that the Ashab-e-Kahf and the Ashab-e-Raqib, they are one and the same people. Some say that no, Ashab-e-Kahf is different, and Ashab-e-Raqib, they are different. And those who say that the Ashab-e-Raqib are different, they say the Ashab-e-Raqib refers to what I have spoken to you last time about those three from the Bani Israel, which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam related, and they went away into a cave, and a rock fell down, and they made dua, etc., which I explained in detail last time. However, most of the scholars say that the Ashabi Kaf and the Ashabi Rakim, they are all one and the same group, meaning those who went away to the cave. Respected elders, whatever I am going to say to you, I have checked up various commentaries of Quran, and various commentaries are saying numerous things about the people of the cave, or the companions of the cave. I have tried to put it together so that we get one so-called incident or story. Meaning I'm taking from Qurtubi, I'm taking from Ibn Kathir, I'm taking from Bidayah wa Nihaya, I'm taking from Ma'rif al-Quran Idrisi, I'm taking from Mufti Ashiq Ilahi's Anwarul Bayan, I'm taking from Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thahalvi Rahmatullah Alayhi's Anwarul Bayan and Mufti Ilahi's Anwarul Quran. Now, putting all that together, what we get is that during a period between the places called Elah and Palestine, between Elah and Palestine, there was a place, and it was ruled by a king, Dayanus, or Dakhdanus. And Dayanus was a tyrant, he was an oppressor, and he was an evil person, he was an open transgressor, he was not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one, and he was producing and manufacturing idols, statues, and making his entire populace prostrate before them. And this king was very tyrannical and oppressive, that anyone who refuses to prostrate before the idols, then he was executing them. After a little bit time, giving them some time, say that prostrate before the idols, and if they don't prostrate before the idols, then he was executing them. First of all, I mentioned to you that there is a possibility that that cave must have been in between Elah and Palestine. Imam Razi Rahmatullah Ali makes a discussion, and he says that we should not worry where the cave is, because it is of no benefit for us in this world, in the grave or in the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask us as Muslims that where was the cave, or where is the cave, or did you make research and find out where the cave is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to find out. Similarly, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to ask us on the day of judgment that Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was he right, or Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was he right. That got nothing to do with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us about our salat and our fast and our charity and our lillah and paying our debts and not oppressing people. Those things Allah is going to ask us, not about the color of the dog which followed the youth. That is another discussion too. Some people make, what was the color of the dog that went with the Ashabi Kaf? Remember, that got nothing to do with Imaniyat. There was a dog that went with them. That's about all. Now to find out the shape and the size and the color of the dog, that's vain and futile discussion. So Imam Razi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that don't worry about where the cave is. And there are people who are trying to find out, maybe it is somewhere in Jordan that that cave exists. However, that this king here was oppressive, and he was making his populace prostrate before the idols. At one stage, he had a huge festival of prostration before idols. Then there were certain young people who refused to go to that festival, and they remained behind. When they remained behind, then they met. Coincidentally, they met and began to discuss. And each one is hiding from the other one that, listen, why you never go to that festival? So what they said, the eldest one, the Malika, he said, listen, I will tell you why I never go to that festival. I do not agree with it. Allah Ta'ala is one. Our Creator is one. Our Rabb is one. Our Benefactor is one. Allah is the one who does everything. And we are not going to prostrate before that idol. That is why I did not go, he said. Then the others began to speak up and said, yes, that is why we also did not go to that festival. Now once the king realized that everybody came to that festival of prostration before idols, then he, besides these youth, he arrested them. They apprehended them and arrested them and asked them, what's happening? They said, we're not prostrating before idols. And idol worship has been coming along for a long time, And idol worship, respected elders, has got no faida, no benefit. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to destroy that. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam destroyed that. Tawheed, they came to preach. Respected elders, so what the king did, he stripped them of their clothing. In those days, the clothing was lavish, extravagant. And the men were wearing jewelry, etc. and wearing garments of nature that was comfortable at ease. So first thing he did, he stripped them of all that and made them wear simple clothing and told them, right, I brought you down now and now you must prostrate before the idol. And it so happened he had to go to the next town, next village, next area for some work. These youth here, what they decided, that listen, they are going to leave the place. So what they made a mashwara, they said they will go each one to their own home. And they will take money from their houses. They're coming from wealthy houses, homes. So they will take money from there and they will spend half in charity. They will give in charity half and they will keep half. And then they will decide there is a mountain here, there's some caves there, they decide to go there. So they went to their homes, they took some money, gave half in charity and took the other half and proceeded to that cave. On their way now, there is two narrations. One is that the king's cook joined them. And one is that the king's cook with his dog joined them. And one is that the farmer, a farmer who was in that area, he joined them with the dog, with his dog. Whatever the case may be, that they were trying to chase the dog away and the dog refused to go. They proceeded, went up to that went up to the mountain, went into that cave. Now this cave was an open mouth cave. And they went inside the cave. When they went inside the cave, they found a resting place. And they decided that they are going to stay here. They are going to live here. And they had some food with them. They said, we got some food with us. We will stay here, we will remain here, we will make ibadat here. We will be free from the tyrant as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. There they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, grant us your mercy and guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them granted his mercy and showered his blessings upon them that they fell asleep. They fell asleep with the dog outside. With their dog outside. Now, what happened was the king now, when he returned, he asked them, where are the youngsters who refused to prostrate before the idols? On inquiry, they said, no, we don't know. So he was the ruler of the place. He put his agents out, intelligence agents, looking for these youngsters. Eventually, he found out that they have left. How he found that out, he went to the parents, the father of the children, individually, and arrested all of them, and brought them to the court, and told them that, where are the youngsters? They said, we don't know where are they, what has happened to them, where they have gone. So what he told them, that he's going to kill them if they do not speak up. They told him that, listen, those youngsters are not prostrating before your idols, why are you going to kill us? So he said, no, you have to tell us where they went. Eventually, they had to now investigate, and they told the king they went towards that mountain, maybe they go to some cave there. So they left, the king left those fathers, because they were prostrating before the idols. The king, he went to his military might now. He went to his military might towards that mountain, towards the cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put such fear in his heart, and such awe in his heart, that he, when he saw that cave, and he saw that mountain, then he retreated. He could not proceed further. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he wants to protect someone, then Allah will protect, the whole world cannot harm that person. We must remember, this is our bunyadi, basic, fundamental belief, that if Allah wants to harm anybody, then no one can save that person. And if Allah wants to benefit someone, no one can harm that person. That is our aqidah. Respected elders, so he retreated. Whilst retreating, one of those persons from the king's side, he wrote down their names, that so and so and so and so, they are in the cave. In this cave, yeah, they are inside. And when they went back to the locality, then they wrote those names, that in this century or this year or during this time, in this king's rule, so and so youths, they went up to the mountain and they went to the cave. then these are the names. But the king being evil, what he decided to do, that he decided to create like a wall in front of the cave mouth. He did not cover the mouth itself. He just put up like a wood stones, etc., near that cave, so that no one must go near that mountain itself. And he said, by this, those people will be starved from food, and they will not get any water, and they will die eventually inside that cave. Meanwhile, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He had different designs, a plan for those who went to the cave. Here the question, one discussion arises, that why did not those youth, they should have just prostrated before the idols, and inside they should have said, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we believe in Allah is one. Two reasons are given. One is that a discussion rotates around that was this incident before Isa alayhi salam, or was this incident after Isa alayhi salam? Most of the commentators and research scholars are saying that this was before Isa alayhi salam. Now, when it is before Isa alayhi salam, then these youths did not come into contact directly with any divine messenger or any divine scripture. They were not informed in these circumstances what to do. For example, like Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it comes there in the teaching of Hanzala, teaching of Islam, Hanzala becomes munafiq at that title. That Hazrat Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that, Ya Rasulullah, that when we are with you, we think of Allah and Akhirat, and we are focused on Jannat and Jahannam, everything is in front of us when we are with you. But when we retire to our homes, then this feeling goes away. Then I fear nifaq is set in the heart. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Oh Hanzala, that if you have to think about the Akhirat and Allah and Jannat, Jahannam, perpetually, meaning every minute of the day, then the malaika will shake your hands while you are even resting. So there Hanzala did not know something. So he had Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go back to and to teach him that this is the masla, this is the law. Like for example, the law is that if someone decides to threaten you and holds a gun at your head and say, I'll shoot you if you do not say something un-Islamic, then the decision is very clear that because your life is at stake, then you are allowed in the light of Sharia to say something un-Islamic to protect and preserve your life. However, if a person gives his life and says, I'm not prepared to do anything, then inshallah he'll be a standing martyr. But there is a permissibility law. Now these youths did not know the permissibility law. They went away to that cave. Now they stayed there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem that we made them to sleep. We put them off to sleep and we put a seal on their ears. Generally we will expect that the ayat should run, no, we put a seal on their eyes. But Allah says, no, we put a seal on their ears. Meaning that super sleep. That generally a person may be sleeping, but he, on slight sound, he'll get up. But Allah put a seal on their ears that even sound now cannot even get them up, cannot wake them up. They are sleeping sound. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put them into the cave in such a manner that the sun rays were not attacking them or not harming them, not hurting them. And the dog was laying outside. According to one sahabi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once a year should make them turn. Once a year should make them turn. And according to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, no, twice a year. However, we do not have any categorical statement from the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, how many went into that cave? How many went into that cave? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. He says three and the fourth one the dog. Or five and the sixth one the dog. Or seven and the eighth one the dog. So the commentators say three and the fourth one the dog, this was the view of the Jews. And five and the fifth one, five and the sixth one the dog, that was the view of the Christians. And seven and the eighth one the dog, this is the view of the Muslims. This is our view. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that is the view. How many went there? As far as their names are concerned, that it is unanimous in the scholars are saying that we do not know their exact names and we do not know how to pronounce their names. Although it is written in the books, but their actual pronunciation of the names we do not know. And yes, the dog's name, yes, Kitmir, that is there. That is clear in the Quran Kareem. Now that is why sometimes that when people write letters, then they take a little bit sand and they put it on and they write this word Kitmir. Perhaps that they feel that just as the dog was outside the cave and protected those in the cave, that by writing Kitmir, that the contents of the letter will be safe and it will reach safely to the place. Now that is got to do with Amaliyat. And you know what is Amaliyat? Every person thinks he got Jinnat and Jadu and Nazar. Every Muslim feels that. And the Amils have a field day with the Muslims. And this is a lucrative business, becoming Amil and issuing Taweezes. Because every person feels something is wrong with him, something or something is going wrong with him. And those people out there, those people who issue Taweezes, etc., 9 out of 10 of them are con artists. They are professional rogues. And they are deceiving the public and taking their money off. Beware of them, respected elders. Recite the Mawazatain, the last two surahs, recite Ayatul Kursi, protect yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said us, we must do that. So they went away to the cave. How long they stayed in the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses that. He says 300 years and add another 9 to it. So 309 or 300 years. What happened that the government changed, the empire changed. And then it came a ruler now, and he was telling them, he was muwahid, he was telling them worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his populace, his surrogates, his subjects were all worshipping. But in that time, in that king's time, there arose a difference of opinion, and there arose a difficulty. What was that problem? That some of his subjects said that when they die, then they will only get up spiritually. And when they die, they will not get up bodily, they will not get up physically. So this king here was worried now, that how to explain to his populace that after death, and there will be resurrection, and resurrection will mean that you will get up spiritually and bodily. So now what he did, this king, he went out, he put simple clothing, he went into the sand, sat on the sand, and he began to cry before Allah that, Ya Allah, grant me some solution that I can explain to the public that after death there will be physical and bodily resurrection. Respected elders, one narration is that in his own room he locked him up himself and he said, listen, I'm going to cry and I'm going to worship Allah until some solution comes. Meanwhile, one of his courtiers went to that mountain and dropped that wall down. Remember, the Ashab-e Kahf cannot be seen from outside. They are inside and they are sleeping inside. And according to one narration, they should sleep with their eyes open. It happened now that Allah wanted to get them up. They got up. When they got up, they realized that and had a discussion how long we slept for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses this. Now when they went into the cave, according to one narration, it was night. And when they got up, it was day. According to one narration, they went in the day, and they slept in the day, they got up in the night. So they thought they only had slept between night and day. One narration says that when they looked at themselves, they had long hair, long nails. Then they realized, no, we must have slept long, very long here. Nevertheless, they told the eldest one that you take this money and buy some food and come. When he went into that locality, first of all, the people are looking at him, the way he came from, because he's not from this locality. Then he wants to buy food, and he produced the currency of those years, 309 years ago. When they looked at this currency, they said, now, where you came from? So they began to pass it among the shopkeepers, that this currency, where it came from. You understand? When they began to pass it around, now a huge gathering came, and this person from the cave began to weep and cry, the way I got myself, now they're going to catch me again, and harass me again, and persecute me, and now they're going to kill me. Nevertheless, here there are two narrations, that two courtiers of the king now, they came to his assistance, and they told him that, listen, what is the problem? Because they were reported about this. Saw this currency, then they said, oh, wait, hold on, that there is something written about you. So they went back into the public archives, the government archives, and they said, yes, 309 years ago, that your name is so-and-so, who is your companion? So-and-so, yes, here's all your names here. Where are they? They say, no, we are there in the cave, in the mountain, there, on the mountain. One is they went to the king himself, who went to the archives and he discovered their names and he himself came. Nevertheless, from the government they came. And when they came there, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also put awe into them, in their hearts. And when, according to one narration, the king met them, he went into their cave and he met all of them. After that they passed away. According to one narration, they did not see them. The king and his courtiers did not see them because of the dahshat, because of the awe created around the cave. And the king, because of this one person there, the eldest one, took the story down and built a masjid near that cave. Built a masjid near the cave, and not on the graves of those people, near there, on the entrance of that, as a remembrance. One more thing before I conclude, that according to now narrations, some say that these are weak narrations. These are weak narrations that could be Israeliyat also. But because it is there, we have read it, I'll mention it to you. Some narrations say that these Ashab-e-Kaf, they will get up. They will get up and help Mahdi when he comes. Some say they will get up during the time of Isa alayhi salam and help Isa alayhi salam. However, these are narrations which are weak and we cannot rely on them. Nevertheless, the bottom line is that the Ashab-e-Kaf, they left the kufr and went to Tawheed. They left the shirk and went to Tawheed. They left the order of the day which was batil and went to Tawheed. They left the government which was batil and went towards the salvation. And in this age here, when I come next time, I will explain to you that as Muslims, when is it permissible for us that to migrate or not to migrate? When it is, when we are allowed to leave the country or when we are allowed not to leave the country? Like how the Ashab-e-Kaf, they left that tyrannical government, that oppressive government, that government was propagating and preaching and practicing shirk and kufr, and they went towards Tawheed. In our lives, respected elders also, that if you bring Tawheed in our lives, purity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, belief in purity and oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has no partners and Allah is all powerful. When we focus on that, then our du'as will be accepted and Allah will help us in every condition. May Allah ta'ala grant us understanding of these. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.